if I set this right here? Is that...
That's cool. What is that?
It's a recorder.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the recording?
Ask people for permission first and then share it.
We have podcasts for your videos. And then people want it for their own personal things.
Awesome. Okay,
welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming to Hivemind. Thank you for coming to this discussion on healing salons. We have with us three women who are creating healing salons and gatherings in different ways, and I'm really honored to be able to moderate this panel and introduce these women and the work that they're bringing forth. So Dabney, if you could start with an introduction.
Sure.
And each panelist will introduce themselves.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Dabney, and I have an energy healing practice in Oakland, and some of you, I think, were at the talk that I gave earlier. Another aspect of my work is that I support healers who are emerging into the world of how do I market myself and create a business out of this work, and helping them get their practice up and running. But what we're here to talk about is some of the community building that each of us do. And for me, the way that shows up is in a monthly healing share that I organize in Oakland. And it started out as a Reiki share. And the reason is because I was finding a lot for myself, but also hearing from other people within the Reiki community that there weren't really places for them to give their gifts and do their work, especially those people who were practicing energy healing as more of a self-healing system, or you know, wanting to practice with friends and family, but they weren't finding a lot of outlets to be able to do that. And what I also found was really common is that many people who are drawn into healing work and into that, they have that sort of caring, nurturing aspect to themselves, often didn't really make enough space to receive healing for themselves. And so the share's been going on for a little over a year now, and more recently I started getting a lot of feedback from different healers in the energetic healing modalities and some body workers who were like, hey, you know, what about our healing work? Like, it's just a Reiki share, like only for Reiki people. What if I don't do Reiki? And so recently we've just really opened it up and invited in, and we've even had some people come who don't really practice any healing work, but they're just there to kind of be in the space and receive and also just share their healing intentions with the group. So that's a little bit about the share that I organize, and I think we'll have a chance to you'll have a chance to hear a little more about it later on. I'll pass the stick.
Mm-hmm. Hi folks, my name is Anjali, and I'm here to tell you a little bit more about the Shaktipura Healing Lounge that I've been running in the East Bay. Just a quick intro on what I do. I have my own private practice of integrated body work, and I do both table and floor work. I've been in the healing arts world for about 10 years, have really been interested in exploring healing arts through many different cultures, spent a lot of time in Asia training and also in Hawaii, and kind of culminated here in Oakland about 3 years ago to start my own private practice. And so I really come from that perspective of multiple cultures and multiple perspectives, and trying to bring those different aspects together to approach healing and also creativity. And so I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the Shaktipura event that I run, in that we have a variety of modalities, both hands-on, coaching, sound healing, food, tea, and really I'm looking at how all of the senses tune in to healing and nourishment and connection. So the Shaktipura event, it came through for me really when I moved to the Bay. I was looking for a place personally to showcase myself as a healer. So initially it was really a place for me to say, okay, how can I kind of show the community what I'm doing as a healer, And over time, it's really evolved into a place where I want to help showcase all of the amazing healers that are in the East Bay and give a space for people to see what kind of amazing work they do in a really accessible, short segments of work for them to access. So that's really the vision of Shakti Kura, is a place for people to get inspired about the different types of healing that are available to them in the East Bay and really tune into what works for them, because there's a certain resonance for each person around a practitioner or about a specific modality. And it's important that we have the actual space to see people one-on-one, not only on a website or some kind of like social media where it's an indirect experience, but a real direct experience with meeting the healers that you want to work with and feeling their energy, you know, in this human physical form. So I'm really about promoting embodiment and connection and deepening. And so I'm happy to tell you a little bit more in the later part of the panel.
Hi, I'm Felina, and I run, I would say, the sister event to Shakti Kura in San Francisco. It's called the Holistic Health Saloon, and it's in the Center SF, which, if you haven't been there, it's a beautiful building that used to be where the priests lived. And now it's a collective of 30 healers live on the top, and in the bottom they have a beautiful event space. So it's a bi-monthly event. It's been going for about 2 years now. And similar to Shakti Kura, we have about 30 healers who come and offer 20-minute sample sessions. And then that happens for about 4 hours. And then we do a cabaret. And then we end with a group healing session. And really, the intention is very similar, is just to give people a space to have access to alternative modalities and have access to all the different healers that exist here without necessarily having to make a big investment up front or without knowing what the modality is offhand. So, yeah.
Thank you, all of you, for being here today and sharing your work and for the introductions. I'm going to start with asking each of the panelists a question or two, and then we'll open it up for some audience questions and dialoguing. I'm going to start with Polina, if I could ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
With so many potential changes happening in the healthcare system, how do you think healing saloons could play a part in shifting the current state of healthcare?
So a big part of my work outside of the Holistic Health Saloon is that I work with women who are living with HIV, as well as women who are formerly incarcerated and are basically living at the poverty line or below. And I see these women who have been through so much in their lives and are also living with a virus, and they just have no idea what is possible with alternative medicine and no way to access it. And so for my own self, I had chronic nausea for 2 years in my early 20s and went through this whole ride from doctor to blood test to everything possible until finally I just got fed up and started searching for an alternative method. And it was like this whole world got opened up to me, and I just felt like, why don't more people know about this or have access to it? Mm-hmm. It's so incredible and it's such a different paradigm. And so with the Holistic Health Saloon, really, it's a donation-based event, so it's really like, come, you know, just come. If you don't have anything to give, just come. And the hope is that with creating such events and with creating more access, more people in all sectors of society can see what's possible with alternative medicine. You know, if we can get people in Washington who are deciding what the new healthcare bill is to have acupuncture and have a transformative experience mm-hmm. with it, then they will be more likely to have insurance cover it. And on the same front, if we can have a place where people who are living at the poverty line can have a space to access healing outside of the insurance companies, then that can open up their own idea of what's possible and help with their own healing processes. So,
thank you. Mm-hmm. In what ways do you hope the Holistic Health Saloon will continue to grow? And what are some of the current challenges?
So I think that's a big passion of mine, just making it more accessible. And I think, of course, having more people know about it, especially, you know, I think we all can sense that sometimes these events can kind of be insular, you know, we're in a community who are already thinking about these ideas. And a big question is, how do we begin to access people who aren't exposed to these ideas and might be interested and could benefit from it? So that's definitely a challenge and a curiosity in a way. I hope it grows. Another challenge is just logistics. Like, there's a lot of logistics that go into it, and sometimes there's not a lot of support. I think all of us who work in kind of alternative fields feel that. So be curious to see what could more support look like for such things.
Thank you. I know that with Hivemind, we've considered using a sponsorship and grants model to try to cover the work of the production costs. It's a lot of time, and sometimes the renting a space is expensive, and getting the word out there, like the marketing too, which is valuable for everyone. So that's something that Anjali has mentioned as well with Shaktikura.
Right.
Anjali, if I could ask you a couple of questions too. How does Shaktikura benefit the community?
Great question. So there's some different layers for Shaktikura. I'm going to speak first to the healing artists that are actually involved in Shaktikura and say that this is a really important and powerful experience for them actually to be with support, be with community, kind of similar to the Reiki share that you're doing. I think that a lot of us in the healing arts world are giving a lot, we're pouring out a lot to the community, and we don't necessarily have all the support around us of a network of people that are also doing that kind of work and that can actually potentially work with us and do trades with us in order to bolster our lives and support us in what we're doing. So I think that there's a really important place within the actual contributors and facilitators of Shaktikura to get to know each other and to start building that kind of intimate community to help each other in their practices. And not only that, but as therapists, when we get to know each other and we get to know each other's practice, then we can refer each other and the different types of work we're doing. So I think there's a real value in and of itself just to what's happening within the sense of the contributors and the facilitators. So then on the other side of that, the people who are coming, there's a whole spectrum of healing, right? There's people who are actively offering healing as their profession, and then there's a whole spectrum of people who are doing it perhaps more with their friends or more as trades, and people who are human beings as healers. We are all healers, and we all have a place within that spectrum. And so I think that Shaktikura can inspire people to see at what level they want to contribute towards healing in their communities. And so that kind of ties into the next piece of where I feel that Shaktikura gives people a sense of being able to feel their bodies and feel connected to the earth enough to see where is it in their own lives that they can contribute towards healing, perhaps through social justice, environmental justice, the different ways in which we can all give when we feel abundant and comfortable in our own being. So it's really about moving towards a place of abundance, and that's kind of what I see Shaktikura as a possibility for people to say, I can actually come and work with a number of different healers and see what it is that works for me to help myself thrive and move forward in my life abundantly and joyfully. And so we try to give people that inspiration and those tools. From the very beginning of Shaktikura, we try to give tools for people to take away some self-massage or partner massage tips right away that they can practice throughout the event. A variety of workshops that are related to healing work, and then a couple of collective workshops that we're engaging as a community in an intimate way around healing and connection. And so then, of course, in addition to that, we have mini sessions for people to experience one-on-one with therapists and healers that are there in a space of a community room where there's also sound healing happening at the same time. So I think another aspect that really I enjoy about Shaktikura is a level of interactivity between the sound healing and the one-on-one sessions, and this sense of what happens when we're all in one room together offering healing work. We're not in our own offices doing this, but we're actually in one space as a community sharing healing work, the spontaneity that comes from that and the creativity that comes from that. So I think I can stop there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you haven't already touched on this in what you were describing, what is the long-term vision of Shaktikura?
So over the last year or so, I've been getting the vision and the hit that Shaktikura has a place not only within the East Bay, but in other parts of the world. And I've been getting some interest and requests from people in different parts of the world to run Shaktikura in their own hometowns. I had a friend just 6 months ago who put on an event in Mexico in Puerto Escondido that was kind of using the Shaktikura model, and we kind of quickly put it together, tried to consult with him to get that up and running. And what I learned from that is that I really would like to be able to hold the space to help mentor and consult other people around the country and the world around how they can also hold space for these types of healing salons to create that level of abundance and community and networking for those that are in the healing arts worlds and for those that would like to participate and feel support from those worlds. So my long-term vision is to be able to really create a model that I can present to others in a very specific way of how they can run that event, and that we can create a bit of a network around the world for Shaktikura. And that will create various types of bridges for us to share healing work and also be able to share the different projects we're working on. Like, there's a wonderful social justice project here in the East Bay. If I have people in New York that are doing Shaktikura, we can connect and link those kind of resources together and that community. So that's kind of what I see as a long-term vision of Shaktikura, is to be able to create more of a, you know, a national and then perhaps global network. But I want it to really stay this kind of intimate, small community event, you know, wherever it's going, with the possibility of having opportunity to collaborate for bigger events as well, but still with that kind of like seed, small, intimate community events idea.
Beautiful, thank you. And if there's any way the Evolver Network can assist you in that, we have a similar model of sharing models throughout different cities, and, you know, discovering what works together and then sharing, or like some of the cross-pollinating you were describing too. So I'm available in that capacity.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
I'm just so honored to be here with all of you. It's so beautiful what you are bringing forth just in the community. Dabney, if I could ask you a couple of questions too.
Yeah. Before you do, though, I want to just speak to both the Holistic Health Saloon and Shaktikura Lounge. If any of you have ever been to either of these events? A couple of you?
Yeah.
So just my personal experience, having moved to the Bay Area a couple of years ago and really like reinventing myself and finding like where is my tribe and where are my people, something that is really, really remarkable about what both Paulina and Anjali have created in San Francisco and in the East Bay is this level of connection and this sense of arriving in a group of people you don't know and feeling like you found your family. Like, oh, I'm home. Mm-hmm. And that was my experience at both of these events. And, you know, that's really only possible with this really beautiful level of intention that's going into them. And so I just want to give a little if you haven't gone to either of them to check it out, either as a healer offering your services or going there to just soak up the goodness, because there's so much there that's available. So I just had to say that.
Yeah, thank you for presencing that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Dabney, what made you decide to begin hosting your community healing share?
Yeah, I think I touched on it a little bit, but really it was coming from this place of seeing that there were a lot of, particularly energy healers, because this is, you know, the meetup that I run is the Oakland Energy Healers, and being really involved in the Reiki community, a Reiki energy healers, what I found was that there's this level of marginalization that goes on with some of the more esoteric healing arts, and that there was a huge community of people who weren't actually making a profession out of their healing, but wanted to have a deeper connection with their healing work. And were really like, isn't there someone who will just take what I have to give? And just so seeing like there was this desire to give and this desire to give, and that it wasn't, there wasn't a connection, there wasn't a place to receive that. So that's really what it was born out of, was really also, you know, it initially started as a teaching tool because I teach Reiki, and so I have a lot of first year and second year students that were like, where do I go to practice? Like, who can I've been giving Reiki to my cat for like months, and like I need, you know, like a person, and wanting, people really wanting to, because I think when we come together in places and gatherings around Hive Mind, and just like it was mentioned earlier, like we're kind of in this bubble a little bit of like, we all have this like basic understanding perhaps, or familiarity with the level of spirituality and spiritual assumptions, or this kind of cutting edge like consciousness way of thinking. And there are many people who are living fully submersed in mainstream culture who don't have anyone to connect to around these types of topics, who haven't found their tribe, who haven't found their community, who haven't found places and people to receive their healing work. And so I think it really arose out of what I was seeing was this like really deep need of people who are really called to give, not having a place to necessarily do it. And so the healing shares that I host are small. They're like 10 people, and we set up 5 tables, and you get to do a healing trade. And it's incredible what happens when we come together in community for that purposes. And so so there's a lot of similarities, I think, in the work that we do. And the share that I run in particular, it's really not a place to like showcase your work to like the outside world or potential clients and interfacing there. It's really a place to just like be with your people and get juiced up and be able to really open up that giving and receiving channel.
What do you, can you go a little bit more into the benefit of experiencing both that healing and the receiving during the evening?
Yeah. I think, you know, most healers can relate to it being easier to give than to receive. Some of us are just kind of built in that way. And so there's a certain alchemy to actually literally like doing your, you know, giving your gift to someone, and like the goodness that you feel from just like doing your work, and not because you're trying to get a new client, and not because you're trying to pay the bills, and not because, just for the pure reason of that, it feels so damn good to do what I love to do. Woo! And then to be able to get on the table and have that same person give back to you, there's this incredible alchemy that happens. When you go right from a giving place directly into a receiving place, it's a place that really calls on us to become more open, more trusting, particularly when we're in this small and intimate group. And we do definitely take time to create sacred space and to create a level of kind of openness and trust and comfort with everyone. But you're also, you know, just saying like, I'm showing up here, I'm open to receiving whatever healing is available to me, in whatever modality that comes in, you know? So I just can't say enough about how important it is to engage with community in these small ways and in these bigger ways and events like this and Shakti Kura and the Holistic Health Saloon. And so that's what I see really is the benefit of just allowing yourself to open up and receive that which you so effortlessly give to others all the time, you know, and to do it in a way that's totally affordable.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, such beautiful, full medicine that we're all bringing forth. Grateful to all of you, and thanks for describing in more detail what you're doing and what your visions are and what you've been experiencing through creating these events. I'd like to open it up for audience questions.
I'm actually really curious as to like what's like the theme, the idea that's like behind Reiki. Like what is the basis of Reiki?
Of Reiki?
Yeah.
Well, very briefly, Reiki, I like to explain it like this. Have you ever heard of Tai Chi or Qigong?
Yeah.
So the ability to manipulate one's own energy in one's own space, right? Moving out stagnant energy, blocks, bringing in fresh chi and energy. Well, I look at Reiki as a way of being able to increase the energy that you're channeling and to move that energy out your hands and to use that energy and apply it to someone else rather than just to yourself. So Tai Chi and Qigong is really you're working with your own energy field, and although they're not historically, you know, Reiki and Tai Chi and Qigong, they don't have the same lineage, but it's one easy way of thinking of it as Reiki is a way of applying chi from one person to another.
It seems to me like it's almost like what you're doing with the trade is like healers healing each other, like just being able to receive and give and kind of just get the energy moving and having that time to kind of bond and share and just be supportive, which is awesome. And then it sounds like it, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm out in a void. It's not really, there's like a bunch of people, but we haven't like gathered together. I'm in back. So, and there's like all these really cool places, but somehow we haven't, you know, maybe they need to do like, you know, I don't know if it's me or something, but I'm hearing that I think it's a real needed thing to have a place to get together and maybe with a group, it's a stronger kind of unit to bring people in to try different things because everybody has their own healing modality, or they may try different things at different times and it's a little bit more supportive. So I love the idea. You know, because sometimes I feel like I'm this weird person floating around out there, but I get found. But I think that's something that maybe like what you want to do as far as bringing that out is a really wonderful idea. Because it sounds like it's a nice container.
If I can voice something, which thank you so much, and just to say. Feels important to voice, like this was not at all an original idea. Like Leslie created Adaptogen, if you have ever been in San Francisco and now in the East Bay, or there's something called Karma Clinic, where it's all the same idea. I was really inspired by Burning Man at Heebie-Jeebies, where they do healing share. So it's beautiful to see that this is happening. And another thing that I would love to see is how can we all connect more? Like there's can never be enough healing, you know?
Between even the little centers that
yes.
Start.
Yes, yes.
A healing web of light.
There's also an alchemy that happens, you know, at these events, that there's a unique iteration of whatever our creation is that time that's being co-created, you know, amongst all the different healers. So it's a really, really special experience, you know, for people that come because they get to experience the alchemy of all of these healers in one space together that are sharing love, light, and connection, you know. Mm-hmm. And then most people that are in the space, they feel their own, you know, natural healing aspects come through just being in the space.
Yeah. I feel like just being here right now.
Yes, there is a high amount of love light congregation
right here. Says the Reiki mask
kind of swirling out. Yeah.
Along those lines, we were all together at a meeting of a new organization called Healers Worldwide, and they're trying to, it's new, I think that as far as I know, there's one in LA and one in San Francisco that's just barely getting started, but that's the intention of that too, is to bring healers together. And how can we support each other? And how can we bridge and bring the gifts we have to offer to the people who need them. And, you know, a common theme several people have mentioned is access and even just knowing about some of these alternative modalities that in some ways can be more accessible, and in some cases can heal things that Western medicine doesn't quite have a vocabulary for understanding. So that just Healers Worldwide is the name of that group that's just getting started, and their intention is to help build that kind of web around the world for healers to connect and outreach. And anyone have any other comments about that?
I'll speak to that a little bit. This is a, as like Magenta said, an organization that has started in LA, and they've had a lot of great success with bringing the healing community together, and have sort of branched out and looking at, you know, what does the Bay Area need in terms of really empowering all of the different healing activities that are going on, because there's this level of, you know, in many ways, many of us have reached a level of self-healing, you know, not that that healing work is ever done, but we've reached a level of self-healing. And then there's healers out there giving their healing work. And what Healers Worldwide is really addressing is not that primary healing level or that secondary healing level of healers healing other people, but the tertiary level of how do we approach healing at a community level. And how do we actually begin to synchronize some of our efforts so that there isn't, like, you know, a bunch of people, like, just, like, you know, having to fuel individual visions that are actually collective visions, you know? So this is one example of this, is us sitting up here and being together. A couple of the ways that that you can get involved is, and one of the ways that we're working to connect people is through a healer's map. And so it's online on healersworldwide.com, but you can basically, you can put yourself on the map, and it's a Google map, so you can enter yourself on the map underneath your modality. And you can also look at the map and see, like, where are the other people in my area and what work are they doing? And the vision of this is not just, because it's not called Healers California, right? It's called Healers Worldwide because, you know, what would it be like to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be in London next week and be able to go to that map and be like, and check out who's there and be like, hey, we're both part of this organization, what's going on? And to actually be able to bring our work with us when we travel because we're that networked. You know, and I think in so many ways, in so many different expressions, so many of us are really calling for greater connection, greater resource sharing, greater collaboration, greater synchronization. And so that's what that community is all about. And I would just welcome you to check it out. There's a Facebook forum and there's a website. You can learn more about it. And just ways to basically create a common space. Where we can all kind of, instead of being like, I'm doing my work here, but start to really look, like, pick our heads up and look around and be like, who are the other people who are doing the same thing? And how can I connect with them? And how can we come together? And just briefly, I want to share that my concept of this really, before I even learned about Healers Worldwide, was really based on the existence of the slime mold. And you're all, what, slime mold? But the slime mold is this incredible organism. Does anybody know anything about the slime mold or why it's amazing? This lady is a lover of slime molds, I can tell. But they're just this fantastic organism, and what makes them so fantastic is that they are both multicellular and unicellular, so they can function as single-celled organisms, and they also fully function as a multicellular, differentiated structure. And so, what's that? Slime molds. Yeah. I've never heard that comparison, but yeah. So, I mean, when... Yeah, well, what happens is they, when they live as single-celled organisms in a forest, they're all spread out, right? Fill out this metaphor. And one will initiate a signal saying, not enough food, not enough food, or not enough resources, whatever it is. And that signal will go to the next guy, and he'll send out that signal. And the signal will spread, and wherever the highest density of that chemical chemotaxis signal is coming from, they all will collect into that one point. And so these cells will come from miles, miles apart, and they will come and they will congeal into this one blob. And some will differentiate into this certain task. Okay, we're gonna do this part, right? Okay, we're gonna do this part, similarly to how we have tissue and different organs taking up. So there's this higher level of organization that happens, and that's what we're looking for in the healing community, and that's what we're creating, is sort of this moving into more of like a slime mold state of interacting and being with each other, because when we do come together, we can accomplish so much more than, you know, toiling away on our own. So,
yeah.
So that's what I'll share about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I know I had to go on a little tangent with that, but.
I'm not complaining as a spore organizer on a network based on the idea of spores and mycelium.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're in a pollinating hive of the biomimicry as we connect more back with nature and the health of, you know.
Anything about primordial ooze?
What?
The primordial ooze. It's like basically this like a scratch, so the scratch is the way it still performs, the way cells perform in the primordial ooze. The like after the Big Bang, there were a bunch of rocks that did it in a water, that did it in a oxygen, that did it in a carbon. And on Arctic, the rock in the sun, there was rock with water, and with the cell you described, probably that cell, like that exact cell, was what it was. There was rocks, water, oxygen. There were all the elements we have on this planet. We're already on this terraformed rock, and these cells were on this planet, and these cells communicate with each other at that level, just like whatever need to be. And so certain groups of cells be like, hey, let's become a fish, hey, let's become a chicken, hey, let's become a T-Rex, hey, let's become a monkey, right? And so the primordial ooze was an ooze made up of these individual cells that can communicate with each other in the truest form of communication to become whatever they want to be. And that's what we're all here.
Thank you.
Cool.
Does anyone else have audience questions?
Well, I actually have incredibly thankful. This is exactly what I needed to hear. This is what I was thinking about in my head. I really like the idea about the tertiary level of how we approach healing and how we synchronize. And because I'm kind of involved in some concurrent communities, and also seeing the great need for community access hugely, and how people will turn, people cannot afford to pay for doctors, and then they go off on their own. And if you look at websites, you're like, I spent $4,000 on this doctor to heal this chronic condition, and I found out it didn't work. Or, and like, what do we do? And so like I'm seeing, and then also going to like San Francisco State, where they have the biggest library of holistic health, and they have this huge community at San Francisco State. They have this huge community at UC Berkeley. They have a community at CIS. They have a community in JFK. They have all these concurrent communities of people who aren't connecting. They're like too involved in their community, or they're like their plate is too full, but they're incredible resources. And then there are people who are struggling with chronic diseases or whatever, and they don't have, they don't even know what's up and what's down. They're like, I can't afford this. There's no accessibility. So I'm very, very intrigued. And then what LIFO lit up for me was, I was thinking about the public library, believe it or not, the public library, whether it's Berkeley, whether it's San Francisco, wow, community resource, they have speakers, they have presenters, you come, you create this public access, and they have this big, huge thing in San Francisco Public Library, where it's in a huge broadcast where people come from the community and offer informational sessions on the topic of their choices. And so I was thinking, how do you get it more centralized? And I'm so intrigued. I want to hear more about this conversation. I'm kind of blown out of the water in this moment. You know, just hearing what I've heard, totally blown away. Because I have been thinking about this for the last few weeks, just about this need in the community. And also I had a conversation, naturopathic medicine is in San Diego with John Bestier in Portland, in in Seattle with community clinics, but not here. We do not have that access because we don't have the community clinics. They do, and they relocated, bypassed the Bay Area. And the wealth of information in the naturopathic tradition and just enlightening people, you know, to have that information, people don't know.
Can I jump in? So one thing that I would really love to see, I feel like what's happening more and more is that there's becoming a bigger and bigger split between Western medicine and alternative modalities. And, you know, most of us could probably go on and on about the pharmaceutical industry and, you know, right? But, like, imagine if doctors were open to alternative medicine. You know, I had a yeast infection and I went to see a doctor. My mother asked me to go. I hadn't been in years. And she said, oh, well, just take this pill. And I said, I don't like to take pills. Do you have any natural recommendations? And she, not one. Mm. Not mm-hmm. one. And I could have asked 10 of my friends, and they give me 10 things right there. And I was oh, my God. Whatever. You know, and for people, you know, to give people a choice. So I'm curious, what would it look like if we stopped judging each other so much and created bigger bridges with Western medicine.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
I really loved what you were saying there, and I was thinking about this in my town too. I live in Vallejo, and it's sort of like an up-and-coming sort of community there. And the thing I was thinking about for an idea is like that, like sort of like an access point where people can go and sort of think outside the hexahedron, you know what I mean? Like they're actually there to like study certain things that do affect your, you know, your brain, the way you think, is dictated on your water, your food, your air, and your medicine. So that should really be looked at. And on Google, you can look up water and see 10 different types of doing water. Or you can look up medicine and see 10 to 20 different, you know, healing modalities. Or you can see all these different things, but it's really hard for people that are set into rubrics that are busy doing their jobs or their lives. It's really hard to have all that information and not have a place where on Friday night, instead of going to a bar or like a restaurant, you know, you bring your tools and you find out how your energy is going into your house.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find out how to make the best water or how to have the best essential oils for your family or how to be able to self-sustain yourself and your community to just build a better rubric so everybody can thrive within it. And it just builds and builds and builds. And it's not this whole thing where you have to like judge and pay $4,000. You can go down and actually tinker around, so it'd be like a think tank. Mm-hmm. And you can come down and just be open to it and, you know, bring information or just have like a, you know, like this. This is pretty much the same type of thing. Like an open forum where you can bring your concepts and hopefully intermesh with people that are on the same frequency, I guess, you know.
I think on that same sort of note, as both of you, like having open sessions where people can discuss and really like learn about the experiences of both alternative medicines as well as westernized medicine is probably like the best way to open people up to you know, the realities of both. Because it's not like, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is ever going to stop. Industrialized medicine is a predatory industry.
And it's not like amazing things haven't come from Western medicine if we look at the AIDS epidemic, for example. So to really have reverence and respect for what both of us are creating and what could it look like if we actually worked together, you know?
And so there's a lot I have to talk about. This topic that's not as on topic as this forum, so if you want to talk more about this general subject, I'd love to after. Because this whole thing where it's called hive mind, everything, every forum is just a different conversation about the hive mind, because the biggest problem in not all Western society, because London and like all of France and all of them are doing way better than we are at most things. The problem in America is that we are a country that profits on sickness and illness.
Mm-hmm.
And not just physical sickness and illness, spiritual sickness and illness, emotional sickness and illness.
Mm-hmm.
Like the prison industrial complex isn't really this, we're talking about the app, I can talk about it forever. Right? We are a country that profits on, that doesn't profit on well being. Profits on illness and sickness. We have a billion-dollar cancer industry. We have a billion-dollar, you know, all the internal industries are industries. Like we could just stop spending billions of dollars on finding a cure for cancer and AIDS right now and just have everybody smoke weed all day, right? Because if you think about like what cannabinoids do, we're not a THC. THC is great for your emotional distress, but just what cannabinoids do for your body is everything that it's good for you.
Yeah.
We already have all the cures for all the ailments. We're growing naturally somewhere.
The fungi in the old growth forests that are insanely antiviral. Super powerful medicine.
Yeah.
There are fungi that grow in old growth forests that have extremely antiviral properties. They're like stronger than anything that's been grown in a lab or, you know, impacted by scientists. Unfortunately, those forests are kind of being wiped out. So
they've gone. It's 4%. They're gone.
I think,
reforestation is something, is another topic to look into along these lines too. We have 5 minutes left, so I wanted to be sure to give the panelists some time to close and let people know when their next events are.
Sure. Okay. So their next Holistic Health Saloon is on November 10th. It's at the center, and it's at Fillmore and Oak Street in San Francisco. It starts at 4 p.m. and it goes until 10 p.m. and can come any time in between then. We're always looking for healers to offer 20-minute sessions if you're interested. We have a performers, we have a cabaret where we invite all types of performance, so if you're interested in performing. And always just looking for extra hands on deck, like people to help check people in or get people to the right spot. So we have a Facebook page, it's just the Holistic Health Saloon. And also, if you're interested in any of those things, please come talk to me after.
Do you have locations in East Bay or Shore?
I would say Shakti Core is the East Bay contingent, yeah.
So that's at 4 p.m.?
4 p.m.
November 10th?
November 10th, Sunday, November 10th, yeah.
Should I jump in? So Shaktikura is a quarterly event, and the next one that we'll be running is October 13th, which is a Sunday afternoon, and we'll be starting at 4 p.m. and it'll go till 8:30. And right now we pretty much have a solid crew for our next event in terms of healers and sound healers. We're still looking for we're open to some vendors that are doing visionary artwork and sacred elixirs and cacao. So, you know, please feel free to get in touch around that. And we're also always looking for people who have a real eye for photography or video or press. So any of those kinds of things, we're really open to including that into what we're doing so that we can really get the word out and the message about Shaktikura. So please be in touch with me around any of those things, and also for future events if you're interested in doing healing, hands-on healing, sound healing, consultations. I'm really open to including more people in our communities around that. And I have flyers right here too for the next Shaktikura, so I'll leave a couple up here afterwards.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the healing share that I organize is happening again. Usually it's monthly. October is an off month because I'll be traveling. But the third Wednesday in November, so I'm thinking it's the 18th, but you'll have to double check that. But that runs 6:30 to 8:39 usually. It's $15. That pretty much covers the space, and what you get out of that is basically you will give and receive a 30 to 45 minute healing session from one of your colleagues, which it's awesome. We always just leave feeling like super juiced up and really full. So welcome you to come and be a part of that, or pass the word on to anyone that you know that might be looking for more outlets to practice their work and receive. And then the Healers Worldwide organization that Magenta touched on and that I shared a little bit about, that's really an ongoing, so you can check them out on healersworldwide.com. And there's also a Healers Worldwide San Francisco or Bay Area Facebook page. And there's a lot of really awesome conversations going on there, and promotions, and us all kind of gathering around like what's happening in the healing community in the Bay Area. So that's another hub to link into if that sparks your interest. And
and I'll be here to answer any questions or about anything after we wrap up, so thank you.
And I also consider Hivemind sort of a societal healing salon in a way, and the next Hivemind is going to be January 25th. We do it quarterly, roughly about every 3 months, and there are Hivemind's happening in several other cities right now. I think we have 5 or 6 of them that have happened or in the process of doing that. So I just want to say again, I feel like I've repeated this so many times, but such profound gratitude for all three of you for what you're sharing and developing and building with community. And thank you everyone for the phenomenal discussion. I really encourage us all to continue talking about the things that came up today, connect with each other, share contact information, stay in tune. We have the Evolver Bay Area Facebook group is a good way to like continue to dialogue and keep in touch with each other. So I think that's about it. Thank you so much for coming to this panel discussion. Thank you for taking the time to represent today. And thank you all of you for caring about this topic and coming to share your perspective as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.